Welcome to the Will of God in the life and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, O divine will, may our feet journey together, may our hands gather in unity, make our hearts beat in unison, make our souls be in harmony, may our thoughts be as one, may our ears listen to the silence together. May our glances profoundly penetrate each other. May our lips pray together to gain mercy from the Eternal Father. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome again to the Will of God in the life and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. Today we will continue with the Book of Heaven, Volume 21. The next passage comes from May 8, 1927, and the title is How the Divine Will is Immense and Everything It Does Carries the Mark of the Divine Volition. Luisa Picarreta writes, "In the midst of the privations of my sweet Jesus, though feeling their heart martyrdom, I abandon myself in the arms of the Supreme Volition as its little daughter, who is raised on its knees, attached to its breast, to live from its life and its likeness. And my beloved Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, 'My daughter, my will is immense, and everything which can move from it carries the mark of its immensity. From one single word came the immensity of the heavens with all the stars. From one word of it came the sun with the immensity of its light, and so with many other things.'" Luisa Picarreta speaks about the abandonment in the supreme volition, the supreme good, to live in the likeness, to become more like God is. In order to become more like God is, we have to die to ourselves. How do we die to ourselves? By uniting our acts to the divine will, so that with every single act we die to ourselves. We decrease and God increases in us. As St. John the Baptist says, "I must decrease so that he can increase." To abandon ourselves in the supreme volition, as Luisa Picarreta, is to unite every single act with Jesus. And this is the greatest martyrdom that we will encounter, to die to ourselves with every single act, to die to our pride, to die to what we want and is no good for us. The divine will is immense, our Lord Jesus tells to Luisa Picarreta. God is inexhaustible. The divine will is the fountain of everything that exists. God has to will and things come into being. This is what he says, "My daughter, my will is immense." If we go to the book of Genesis chapter 1, we see that God creates everything out of nothing. He has to say, let it be light. And light came into being. Let it be the skies, the stars, let it be the waters, and everything comes into being. So God wills it, and things come into being. St. Paul reminds us that in him we have our being, we exist. At every single moment of our lives, God is sustaining us. We exist because of his divine will. In order for this divine will, the will of God, to grow in our hearts, in our souls, we have to become nothing. We have to abandon ourselves to his will, to be before his paternal knees, and to learn. To become little is to submit to his will. My will is immense, and everything which can come from it carries the mark of its immensity. Everything that comes out of the divine will carries the mark. We can see the immensity of the waters that carries the immensity of the divine will. We see the immensity of light that the sun gives and the immense effects that the light of the sun has upon the earth. He causes things to grow, to produce. We see the power, the immensity of the heavens, the wind. They carry within themselves the mark, the immensity of the eternal fiat. We too carry the mark of our divine creator and that immensity because our souls united to the will of God, they have the capacity to expand as many acts as we do and to contain as much light as many acts we do. From one single word came the immensity of the heavens with all the stars. From one word of it came the sun with the immensity of its light and so many other things. Now, in order to release this immensity of light and of heavens, first I have to create a space in which to place this immensity of light and of heavens. In the book of Genesis, again, in chapter 1, we find that the Bible tells us that in the beginning there was darkness and chaos and there was a void. And God came and He says, "Let it be light." And He brings order. Where there was disorder, now He brings order. Where there was darkness, now He brings light. When there was emptiness, now He fills that with His presence, with His light, with His life. He says that He creates the space. And it's the same with our souls. With every single act, He creates new room for Him to grow, for His life to grow in us, for His likeness to grow in us. Whenever my will wants to speak, first it sees whether there is the space in which to place the great gift of its word, which may be another heaven, a sun, or a sea even greater. He needs to create the space. He sees if there is the space in the soul of the creature needs to be created. And this is done when we are in the state of grace and when we make use of the sacrament of reconciliation that reconciles us with God, that forgives our sins, venial and mortal, and creates a disposition in the soul to receive grace. And then our souls, united with the will of God, are able to expand. So new room is being opened in our hearts, our souls, to receive this light. This is why many times my will remains silent, because the space in which to place the great gift of the immensity of its word is lacking in the creatures. If we are not in the state of grace, this space is lacking. And even though God wants to deposit His grace to create this space in us, He can't, because He will never overcome our human will. This is a gift that He has given us, and He respects so much this gift that He will never override. He needs our consent. The more acts we do united with the will of God, out of love for Him and in freedom, the more He expands our souls and the more we become more like God, because we receive His light, the light that emanates from Him, from His sanctity. Sanctity, our Lord tells us through the private revelation of Sister Faustina, concerning the divine mercy, He tells us that sanctity is the first attribute. So when we unite our acts in the divine will, we receive the likeness that emanates from these Trinitarian acts. This is why many times my will remains silent, because the space in the creature is lacking. In order to speak, first it bilocates its will, and then it speaks, placing its immense gift within its very self. This is why, in creating man, we gave him the greatest gift, the most precious and the richest inheritance, my will, as depository in him, to be able to give him the surprises of our immense gifts of the word of our fiat. As He rejected our bilocated will, we no longer found the space in which to place in Him the greatest gift of our created work. Therefore, He remained poor and with all the miseries of His will. God is able to bilocate. In the same way that our Lord Jesus is able to bilocate himself in every single host that is consecrated around the world, he is able to bilocate himself in every single act that we do if we are in the state of grace and if we have the intention to let him operate in every single act. He bilocates his will, which is the greatest inheritance he can give us, he says. The divine will, God's will, we say divine because God is divine. We say human, referring to our human will, because we are humans, we are not God. He does not want us to be spiritually poor. He wants us to be rich in what matters. That is why we need the sacrament of confession. We need the sacrament of the Eucharist. We need all the pious devotions, the rosary, to dispose our souls to receive the greatest gift. We need to consent to give our yes, our fiat. Let it be done to me according to thy word. Not my will, but your will, Lord. In everything and in all, your will be done. These are simple ways to remind ourselves that we have to consent. The Lord wants us to be rich in what it matters. The human will can only offer us pain, suffering, miseries, unhappiness. But the divine will, which is the will of God, offers us everything, because the divine will contains everything. God wills it, and things come into existence. Let's continue. See, of everything that occurred in my humanity, the greatest miracle was to restrict all the immensity of my divine will in it. The miracles I made can be called nothing compared to this. More so, since it was my in nature being able to give life by making people rise again, to give sight to the blind, speech to the mute, and all the other miracles, things I did. Indeed, it was in my nature being able to give as many goods as I wanted. Our Lord Jesus, he possessed the divine will by nature because he is truly God, true God and true man. When he took our humanity, he took on our nature. So in his person, there are two wills, the human and the divine. When he says in the gospel, I came to do the will of the one who sent me, not my will, but the will of the one who sent me. When he says, not my will, he's referring to the human will. He didn't come to do the human will, but the divine will, to reverse what Adam and Eve did. They exercise their human will apart from the will of God, and that is why they lost the gift of living in the divine will. Our Lord came to restore us. That's why he came to do the will of the Heavenly Father. At most, it was a miracle for those who received them, but for me, the greatest miracle was to restrict my divinity, the immensity of my will, its endless light, its unreachable beauty and sanctity within myself. He says that it was a miracle that God took on our humanity and all this beauty, this unreachable light, the immensity of the will of God, enraptured, covered under the appearance of a man taking our flesh. He says this was a miracle. This was the prodigy of prodigies, which only a God could do. Therefore, as much as I may give to a creature, I will always give her little in comparison with giving her the great gift of my will. This is the greatest gift that God can offer us, his very will, because it contains everything. The will of God is not an attribute. In her will appear new heavens, more refulgent suns, unheard of things, surprises never seen before. Heaven and earth tremble and fall on their knees before a soul who possesses the great gift of my will. Heaven and earth tremble before the soul who possesses this gift. That's why all nature was subject to Adam, because he possessed this gift. Nature obeyed Adam. In the gospel, we see that Jesus is able to calm the storm. He is God. He possesses the divine will by nature. Our Lord Jesus says, and with reason, because they see coming out from her the vivifying and created virtue of power, which preserve them in the new life created by God. O power of my will, if they knew you, how many will aspire to your great gift and will give their lives to have you? O great power of my will. Our Lord tells us that if people knew the gift of the divine will, if they really understood this gift, they will do anything to learn about it, to exercise it, to live in this way. This passage from the Book of Heaven reminds me the Gospel of John, when Jesus encounters the Samaritan woman at the well, and he says, if you know who is talking to you, if you know the gift, you will ask for this. If we knew all the immensity, all the effects, the goodness, the power, the sanctity, the beauty, the immensity, the strength that divine will gives to the soul, we will do everything to possess this gift. This passage also reminds me St. Augustine, a doctor of the church, that when he is meditating upon God, he says, oh, beauty, ever ancient, ever new. God is always new. God is immense, inexhaustible, so rich. And he wants us to possess this gift of his will, to grow in his likeness, to become more like he is. After this, I continue my acts in the divine will, and my sweet Jesus added, my daughter, one who lives in my will has this divine will within herself, dominating and reigning. One who lives in the divine will has this within himself, because the life of God is within us, is in our soul. The life of God is given to us in the sacrament of baptism. St. Paul tells us, the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the grace of the Holy Spirit. And who is the love of God, the Father and the Son, is the Holy Spirit. Wherever the Holy Spirit is, God the Father is, Jesus is. So Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, they are in the soul. They enter into our soul when we are baptized. So we become the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity. And it is the Holy Spirit who operates in the sacraments. And the action of the Holy Spirit is to make us holy, to sanctify us through the sacraments. That's why it's so important to make use of the sacrament of reconciliation, to allow the Holy Spirit to expand our souls, to work in us freely, to create the room, the disposition for God, to adorn our souls with all the strength, the beauty, the power, the immensity of his will. So one who lives in the divine will, our Lord Jesus says, is possessed and dominated by her. In other words, the divine will reigning in the heart, in the soul of the creature. God finding his dwelling place in the creature. The soul is the possessor of the divine will. She holds it in her power. And while she possesses the divine will, holding its strength, its sanctity, its light, its goods, in her power, the divine will possesses the soul, and by holding her in its power, human weaknesses, passions, miseries, and the human will are kept under the unshakable power of the sanctity of the supreme will, and before this power, they feel like losing their life. Our Lord tells us that when we let ourselves possessed by the divine will, he will possess us, and a little by little, the passions, all the tendencies, all the bad habits in us, in other words, the miseries of the human will, they will disappear. So it's both. We let ourselves be possessed by the will of God, and God lets himself, he lets his divine will be possessed by us. A mystical union, we could say, spiritual marriage between the soul and God. He possesses us and we possess his will. This is what we are called to do, to arrive to this point, to arrive to this point of spirituality, to be totally possessed by God. so that he could possess us all, and us possessing him totally, totally yours, O divine will. So God can say, you are totally mine, O creature. So God can say to our souls, you are totally mine. And we can say to God, God, you are totally mine. We possess each other. This is what the saints, like Saint Teresa of Avila, experienced in the mystical union. She let herself possess by God, and God let himself be possessed by her, forming this mystical union, this mystical marriage. And this is what happens in heaven. The souls are totally possessed by God. He possesses them totally, and they possess God totally, according to their disposition, according to their capacity. So we are called to live in this way, to lose all the passions, to give death to the human will with every single act that we do in union with the divine will. Let's continue. Therefore, weakness feels conquered by the irresistible strength of the divine fiat. Darkness feels conquered by light. Miseries by its infinite riches. Passions by its virtues. The human will by the divine. This is what happens when we let the divine will possess us. All the miseries, a little by little, they disappear. All the vices, all the passions, and they are replaced by virtues, by the beauty, the goodness, the kindness, the faith, the love, the mercy that comes from God. Therefore, the more we grow in the virtues, the more we grow in the likeness of God. What difference between one who lives in my will and one who just does my will? Through the knowledge of these spiritual writings, this private revelation given to the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, we are called not only to do the will of God, but to live in His divine will. There is a difference. It is important for us to understand this difference. In a simple way, to do the will of God is to follow the Ten Commandments. To live in the will of God is to follow the Ten Commandments and to unite every single act that we do with His will. To do the will of God is to fulfill our duties according to our vocation in life. That's to do the will of God. To live in the will of God is to do our duties according to our vocation in life in union with His will. In union with His will. Let's continue. What difference between one who lives in my will and one who just does my will? The first possesses it and has it at her disposal. The one who lives in the divine will possesses the divine will, possesses the strength of God. The one who lives in the divine will, the soul who lives in the divine will, lets herself be possessed by God, and God possesses that soul. The one who just does the divine will is subject to the will of God, but does not possess the will of God, and receives according to its disposition. Between possessing the divine will and receiving it, there is much distance as between heaven and earth. There is as much distance as between one who possesses infinite riches and one who receives day by day only what is absolutely necessary. The one who lives in the divine will, our Lord says, possesses all the riches, infinite riches, inexhaustible riches, immense riches. And the one who does only the divine will receives day by day. Therefore, one who does my will and does not live in it is forced to feel weakness, passions, and all the miseries, which are the privations of the human will. The one who only does the will of God but does not live in the divine will is subject to passions, to weakness. That's why we say that the divine will is the answer for everything. If you want to become holy, try to learn this spirituality. Immerse yourself in the divine will. This is the greatest gift our Lord says that He can give us, especially during these times that the creatures have turned against God. Especially during this time that there is so much sin, so much disobedience, so much rebellion against God. Such was the state of Adam before he withdrew from the divine will. It was given to him by his creator as the greatest gift because it contained all goods as one. Adam and Eve, they possessed the gift of the divine will. They were totally possessed by God, and God possessed them totally. Complete union between them and God. They possess all the goods, but as soon as they chose to withdraw from His will, they felt the miseries, they felt the weakness, the passions. They were afraid immediately. They became afraid. They feared. They were naked. Now, Lord says this was the greatest gift that He possessed. Adam possessed it. He possessed the gift of the divine will. He dominated. And he was ruled by this will because God Himself had given him the right to master it. He possessed the divine will, him, the divine will possess him, our Lord says. Again, we find this mystical union between the soul and the will of God. Therefore, he was master of the strength, the light, the sanctity, and the happiness of this eternal fiat. He was the master of this. He possessed all the light, the strength, the happiness of this eternal fiat, of this eternal will, which is the will of God. He worked in the immensity of light. He worked in the sanctity of God. He possessed this sanctity. It was his. But as soon as he chose to do his will apart from the will of God, to exercise his human will by disobeying God, he lost everything. He lost the light, the strength, the sanctity. He became afraid. He went into darkness. He became spiritually blind, spiritually crippled, spiritually deaf, spiritually blind, spiritually mute. Our Lord says, but when he withdrew from the divine will, he lost possession and dominion and reduced himself to receive the effects of my will according to his disposition, and not to possess them as his son. In other words, when he's saying that, our Lord is saying that when Adam and Eve, they were living in the state of grace, before they withdrew, they were living in the divine will. After they fall, they did the will of God. But that's different than to live in the will of God. Our Lord says that the distance between living and doing the will of God can be compared as the distance between heaven and earth. One who finds himself in the conditions of receiving is always poor. He's never rich. One who finds himself in receiving is always poor. If we do only the will of God, we are going to be, our Lord says, poor always. He wants us not only to do the will of God, but also to live in His divine will. To become spiritually rich, because the divine will possesses everything. It's the fountain that contains all the gifts. That's why it's the greatest gift. Because a rich person possesses, he does not receive, and is in the condition of being able to give part of his goods to others. When we possess the gift of the divine will, we are able to acquire graces for us and for others, to give to God on behalf past, present, and future. We are able to pray together with Jesus to gain mercy from the Eternal Father for all, not only for us, but for all. We are able to pray with Jesus to give to the Father on behalf of all praise, glory, adoration, thanksgiving, to glorify Him, not only on our behalf, but on behalf of others. And God is able to give us what others don't want to receive, what others reject. He's able to give us because these acts, in union with the will of God, they expand our souls. They stretch out our containers to receive this new wine that God wants to give us so that we can acquire this mystical marriage, God and the soul. The soul possessing all the goodness of the divine will, and the divine will possessing the soul, making the soul a new heaven. God resting in the heart, in the soul of His creature. The creature and God in unison, in harmony, in peace. I invite all of you, my brothers and sisters, to unite all your acts in the divine will, to do everything you can to live this way. Do not be discouraged. Know that God is with you in the midst of suffering, in the midst of trial. Offer those acts for the kingdom of the divine will to be known, for the souls to receive this gift that is the greatest gift that a soul can possess, that God may be glorified through every single act of the creature. Before we finish, I would like to end with this prayer that is called the Unity Prayer. Dear beloved Jesus, make our feet journey together. Make our hands gather in unity. Make our hearts beat in unison. Make our souls be in harmony. May our thoughts be as one. May our ears listen to the silence together. May our glances profoundly penetrate each other. May our lips pray together to gain mercy from the Eternal Father. And may the blessing of the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever.